What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Mylynn Riobé, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
Good afternoon and welcome to Awakened Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Mylynn Riobé, and we are live here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. And today's topic is going to be pre-pregnancy tips for a healthy bundle of joy. And we're going to talk about things that you will not learn from your OBGYN that are critical for your pregnancy and to have a healthy baby on 21st century Earth. The statistics on children is, alarming. 30% increase in childhood cancer, autism on the rise. I believe the latest numbers are 1 in 40, if I'm not mistaken. They were 1 in 65 when I wrote my book, Faith. The numbers just keep increasing. And so, of course, we have the information about our newest generations, Generation Z and Generation Y that we call millennials, that they are not expected to be as healthy as older generations. And in fact, Gen Z is expected to have a shorter lifespan than its own parents for the first time in American history, right? So, obviously, this is an emergency. It's not really talked about. It's not really discussed. And so we're going to talk about it today, right? We're told that these things are genetic. We're told that, people have these genetic predispositions for these diseases, these cancers, this neurodiversity that we call autism. We're told that it's genetic and there's nothing we can do, but not true, right? If we really dig into the literature, if we really dig into the research, we see that it's very much preventable, very much not genetic. And we'll talk about that today. So as an obstetrician gynecologist, it's kind of my business to take care of pregnant people and my business to make sure that they have healthy babies and my business to make sure that they themselves are healthy along the way during their pregnancy. What we learned in OBGYN is, if we can capture people before they get pregnant, great. If not, then we'll deal with what we get when they present to us after they're pregnant. And so the vast majority of time, a woman comes into us after she's already been diagnosed with a pregnancy. She's diagnosed herself. Sorry, there are all kinds of sirens and alarms going off here. So I hope you guys can actually hear me. One of the wonderful side effects of being in New York City, but sorry. So in OBGYN, what would normally happen is that a woman would have a positive pregnancy test. Then she would call and schedule an appointment. And interestingly, what we would do is postpone her coming into the office until 12 weeks of pregnancy, which always boggled my mind. Right? Why would you wait that long to start to see a pregnant woman? But that was kind of how it was done. The reasoning being, well, let's wait and see if this person has a miscarriage or not, because what's the point of starting prenatal care only to have the pregnancy miscarry? So we would wait 12 weeks and then we would start to address, this woman's health to protect the developing fetus, to have as healthy a pregnancy as possible and to deliver a healthy baby. So 12 weeks in, right? So that's 3 months into a pregnancy. So for one third of someone's pregnancy, we would ignore them and then ask them to come in this, you know, the second third, if everything was still going okay, right? And so as an integrative, functional, holistic medical doctor, that's completely backwards, right? So what needs to happen is we need to approach that woman before she even thinks about getting pregnant. And of course, we understand that there are a certain number of unplanned pregnancies where someone isn't necessarily planning to become pregnant, and then they do get pregnant and they decide to keep, you know, that pregnancy and to have, you know, have a full pregnancy and to give birth. So what we need to do is capture them as they reach childbearing age, right? And again, the conversation becomes a bit taboo for some parents. They don't want to address the idea that their child has now reached childbearing age. You know, and so there's still some postponement, some delay in when you start to really be able to have a discussion with this, you know, young woman about the potential for a pregnancy. But we need at least a year before someone gets pregnant to really be able to affect the woman's internal environment sufficiently that her body is actually prepared for a pregnancy, right? So there's a big difference between the ability to get pregnant and being optimized for a pregnancy, right? The human body has an amazing way of reproducing itself. And so reproduction is important, right? It's not top of the food chain. It's not as important as beating the heart and breathing, but it's fairly important, right? In order to propagate the species. So it's only after someone is in dire straits that we start to see infertility, right? And of course, infertility is on the rise in the United States. And the idea that infertility is on the rise is twofold, right? One, as women, you know, now that we have entered the workforce, you know, for the last half century, we're much more educated than we used to be. In fact, we're becoming more educated than you know, the men in our society. So we're taking on professional careers. We're doing postgraduate education, PhDs, doctorates. You know, we're becoming professionals in huge numbers, and we're delaying childbearing as we're doing that. And so part of the infertility issue is we're waiting until we're older to think about getting pregnant. The other part of it is that 21st century Earth is causing us to become infertile with the numerous toxins and stress that are present here. And so the same reason someone becomes infertile, right, due to toxins, toxic overload, and stress are the same reasons you could potentially have an unhealthy pregnancy, complications in your pregnancy, and subsequently, you know, a child that is born that is at increased risk of a childhood cancer or autism or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or any number of other complications that we're seeing in our children these days. So it's a spectrum. The same reason someone would become infertile are the same reasons that they would have an unhealthy pregnancy and have a baby that potentially grows into a child that has complications, chronic diseases, and issues. And so that's what I want to address today, is what do we do? So I'm going to be quoting from my own book, Faith, that I published in 2021 here. So in October of 2013, so this is well over a decade ago, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, who's my governing body as an OBGYN, released a committee opinion which stated the following. The evidence that links exposure to toxic environmental agents and adverse reproductive and developmental health outcomes is sufficiently robust. And the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and the American Society for Reproductive Medicine Join leading scientists and other clinical practitioners in calling for timely action to identify and reduce exposure to toxic environmental agents while addressing the consequences of such exposure, end quote. So this is a big run-on sentence. What it essentially means is there's tons of evidence that toxins affect pregnancies and cause pregnancy complications and developmental issues in those developing babies. The evidence is so significant that, again, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, as well as the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, have called. They had a call to action to identify and reduce exposure to toxic environmental agents while addressing the consequences of that exposure. Now, this is allopathic medicine, right? So this is Western medicine sounding the alarm and saying toxins are essentially causing, you know, wreaking havoc on our children, and we need to do something about it, right? Unfortunately, there really hasn't been anything done, right? It's been 11 years. Women walk into their OBGYN's offices today. There's no discussion of toxic exposure. You know, that it's the same routine. We do blood work. We check you for certain sexually transmitted infections. We check you to make sure you're not anemic. We might check your folic acid levels. We would check you for immunization to certain infections and such. We would screen you for diabetes. We would get an ultrasound at the appropriate time frames and move on, right? Nothing's been done. So again, you know, this idea that we keep ourselves healthy as healthcare consumers rings true here as well, right? So we have to figure these things out for ourselves. The other thing that's missing from the statement is, again, there's nothing done to prepare the woman to rid herself of these toxins, right? So there's discussion of we need to identify what these toxins are, and we need to address the consequences of the exposure to these toxins. But there's nothing done to prepare the woman herself, right? So we understand that the body is prepared to detox itself. We understand that there are detoxification mechanisms in the human body so that if we are exposed to toxins, we can get rid of them safely and recover from that exposure. So the idea that these toxins are wreaking havoc with our children, right, our developing babies and subsequently our children after they're born, should be sounding the alarm to ask ourselves the question of what is going on in the human body that it's not able to rid itself of these toxins, that these toxins are causing these problems, right? So the assumption that's being made here is we can't defend ourselves from toxins, and so therefore we have to, you know, try to identify them and get them out, and then deal with the consequences, right? Well, you're not going to identify all the toxins. It's not possible. There are 80,000 plus chemicals circulating in the environment. There's no way you're going to identify them and get rid of them. There's no way. And so, yes, there are ways you can minimize them, and that's important, right? We want to minimize our exposure to pesticides. That's a huge toxin. We want to minimize our exposure to processed foods because those contain hormone mimickers that wreak havoc on developing babies. We want to minimize ourselves from exposure to, dirty electromagnetic energy, such as what comes from cell phones, cell phone towers, you know, high power wires. So we want to minimize those things, yes, but you're not going to reduce the load to the point where that alone is going to protect a developing fetus and subsequently a newborn baby. So we have to start to understand, what can I do as an individual to improve my own body's detoxification systems so that if I am exposed to these things, I don't suffer the consequences, right? And so they did say we need to address the consequences of this exposure, but they're not doing it. Right. There's no conversation at the OBGYN's office as to how to prevent the consequences of these exposures. So this is where integrative, functional, and Eastern medicine comes in, right? So we understand very clearly that there are physiological reactions that occur in the human body that we identify as detoxification mechanisms or methylation reactions that will rid us of toxins, right? The body is very well equipped to do this. So the idea that toxins are causing miscarriages, causing infertility, causing developmental issues, right? Heart developmental problems, brain developmental problems in a developing fetus, and then after the baby's born, causing an increased risk of cancer, causing an increased risk of autism, causing an increased risk of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, should really be telling us that something's broken inside the human body that needs to be resuscitated, right? That needs to be corrected so that we can equip ourselves to rid ourselves of these toxins, right? And the timing is really important, right? Once you hit 12 weeks, 3 months in, it's too late, right? Now, can you do something in the additional 6 months of your pregnancy? Of course you can, and you should. But really, if we really want to slow down this epidemic of infertility, miscarriages, pregnancy complications, postpartum depression as well, right? And developmental delays in our children, and again, the cancer, the ADHD, the autism. We have to work before the pregnancy actually occurs. Why? Because the incubator where the baby is developing is the most critical factor that determines how healthy that baby is going to be. The baby doesn't develop in a bubble, right? It develops inside the mom. Inside the womb, to be specific, right? But the womb is not an isolated chamber. It is, you know, whatever's going on out here in the environment is going on inside in the womb. And so we have to equip the body to rid itself of toxins before that blood reaches the uterus, right? Before the nourishment reaches the uterus. So we understand that that blood flow to the uterus is critical, right? We have to get nutrients to the uterus. We have to get oxygen to the uterus or the womb where that baby is developing. But with that comes toxins, right? And one of the fatal mistakes that we have made in the allopathic medical community is we made the assumption and we learned in medical training that the placenta protected the baby. Right. So the placenta is a fairly large piece of tissue, and it's an exchange barrier between the mother and the baby. So all of the blood from the mother on its way to the baby goes through the placenta. And we thought that it was a protective mechanism for the baby and that all the toxins would be stopped dead in their tracks. And, you know, all the bad things that are trying to come into the womb would be stopped by the placenta and blocked. We learned the hard way that that is not at all true, right? Let me see if I can find this study. Yeah, so study conducted by the Environmental Working Group in 2005. So again, we're going back almost 20 years. Tested umbilical cord blood in newborn infants and found 281 chemicals circulating in the cord blood of developing babies, right? So in the cord blood. So as the baby's in the womb, they identified as soon as the baby was born, they looked inside the umbilical cord and they found 281 chemicals in the cord blood of these babies. 180 of those 281 are known to cause cancer in humans or animals. So 180 of the 281 chemicals that the Environmental Working Group found in the cord blood of newborn infants are known to cause cancer. So that means that those babies for 9 months potentially were exposed on an ongoing basis to those 180 cancer-causing chemicals. And of course, three out of every 10 babies develops cancer in their youth, right? Because they're cooking in up to 200 cancer-causing chemicals for 9 months, right? So again, we have to address this before the mom is pregnant, right? Not necessarily during, although it wouldn't be too late. We can still address these things during the pregnancy, but the problem is in the OBGYN community, we're not even trying. We're not even trying. And so again, integrative, holistic, and functional medicine is identifying this thing, is actually responding to this call to action, right? Except most people don't come to us before they get pregnant. They go to their OBGYNs, right? And then as an OBGYN, we keep them out of the office for 12 weeks and then we let them in. So we need to fundamentally change our idea of preconception care if we really want to make a dent in these epidemics of childhood diseases. And it's these childhood diseases that is shortening the life expectancy of Generation Z and millennials, right? So again, everything is a spectrum. Nothing is isolated. So the same causes are flowing through the lifespan. And then when a baby is born, they are very vulnerable. So again, we don't come out full-sized, right? We come out little puny versions of ourselves, and all of our organs are very tiny and undeveloped. And so our gut is undeveloped. Our liver is undeveloped. The brain is undeveloped. Pretty much everything is underdeveloped when we're born. And so very vulnerable, right? So we're in a time where we're rapidly growing. And so we are very vulnerable to toxins. Our detoxification systems are not developed yet because nature didn't expect us to be inundated with, 80,000 chemicals, only 2,000 of which have even been studied, and 200 are known to cause cancer. So out of the 80,000 chemicals floating around, we've studied 2,000 of them, and 10% of the ones we've studied are known to cause cancer. So if we extrapolate to the 80,000 and have that same 10% number, that means there are 8,000 potentially cancer-causing chemicals in our atmosphere, right? So the only defense we could possibly have against that is to change the way that we look at our internal physiology, change the way that we look at preconception care, change the way that we look at improving, correcting, optimizing body function, specifically detoxification functions, in order to defend ourselves. And it's very, very possible. So before everybody packs up and gets on the next SpaceX flight to Mars to avoid this, I'm going to show you how to stay right here on planet Earth and have a very healthy pregnancy, deliver a healthy baby, and how to protect that baby from all of these chemicals. And the side effect of doing that is you're also healthier as a person, as a mom, right? So because you're making yourself healthier, you're incubating a healthy baby, and then you're delivering a healthy baby. And then we're going to help you figure out how to keep that baby protected as well. So you're listening to Awaken Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milene Ryobe. We'll be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milene Ryobe. That's MilaneRyobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milene the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the founder of Awakened Wellness Now, an online education community dedicated to helping exhausted entrepreneurs recover from burnout and live their best lives. She's also a practicing physician at the New York Center for Integrative Health in New York City. For more information, visit awakenedwellnessnow.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awakened Wellness Now. We have some really great questions here. Question, my grandmother tells me I need to wait till I'm much older to even consider having my baby. I hope she's right. I really don't want to have a baby now. Is she right? How long can I put off having a family? So that's a tough question to answer specifically because I don't know your age. But we do know that fertility starts to decline at age 35, right? Now there is a trend of saving eggs, right? Egg retrieval, not embryos, but eggs, saving your eggs so that you kind of take them out at a certain age, so to speak, and then they're stored and protected. Now, that doesn't completely protect you, right? Because you're still going to have to put those eggs back in, right? And so if your body is not healthy, and even if you've frozen those eggs, when you put them back in, if the body itself is unhealthy, you still have a risk of miscarriage, right? So before age 35 is highly recommended. Now, that doesn't mean that people don't have babies after. I had both my kids after 35, right? I had my daughter at 36. I had my son at 40. But I also kind of knew what to do to protect myself and to protect my fertility, so to speak. So as always, I would always say, you know, invest in yourself, invest in a board certified integrative medical doctor to guide you, to optimize your own health, right? So optimizing your own health optimizes your fertility, and then also optimizes, the development of the baby in the womb. And then as you learn how to keep yourself healthy, you will naturally do the same thing for your baby once it's born, right? So before age 35 is what, as an obstetrician gynecologist, I would have to recommend, again, you know, sometimes it's simply not feasible with our modern lifestyles. So egg retrieval is an option, and also just optimizing your own health from a holistic, integrative way, right? So again, when we go to the allopathic, the regular Western doctor, optimal health is completely different than what we identify as optimal health in the holistic world. Huge gap, right? So optimal health in allopathic medicine is your blood work's normal, your screening tests are fine, you're fine, right? We understand that that's simply not true. You know, there's so much more data that needs to be obtained to let you know if you're actually optimally healthy. And that's where functional integrative medicine comes in, is to assist you in looking underneath the surface where blood work will not see, to really optimize your health in the truest fashion. So I hope that helps answer your question. Thanks for sharing the subject. I've been scared to have a child with the risk so high for birth defects and complications. Yeah, I get it. It's a scary time to be living on planet Earth, but knowledge is power, right? And with information comes the option of choosing, and making the commitment to becoming healthier, right? In the truest sense of that word, which we'll talk about today. So fear not. Question, using birth control, not wanting a baby anytime soon, yet someday. Will birth control cause problems if and when I decide to get pregnant? Depends on why you're on the birth control, right? So birth control pills are often prescribed for all kinds of things, from acne to menstrual abnormalities, heavy periods, painful periods, endometriosis, absent periods, PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome, and then just plain old birth control, right? So if it's prescribed for something else, especially if it's polycystic ovarian syndrome or endometriosis, both conditions that we know will affect your fertility, taking that birth control pill will do nothing to help your fertility. So the problem that we run into is people think they're healthy because now they're menstruating on the birth control pill when they're supposed to. So they have this mistaken idea that everything's normal. And then they go off their pills when they want to get pregnant, and then they can't get pregnant, or they have infertility, right? Or their periods go away again. And so, again, I tell people the birth control pills are not correcting the underlying reason for the endometriosis and the polycystic ovarian syndromes, or the absence of your periods, or the heavy periods, or whatever reason that you were started on that pill. And so, you would need to see a Chinese medicine practitioner or an integrative functional medical doctor, or someone who does both like me, who can really dive deep into the why. Why do you have endometriosis? Why do you have polycystic ovarian syndrome? And not just mask it with the birth control pill. If it's just for birth control, right, usually that's reversible within about 6 months or sooner. But if it's for another condition, then you'll really want to dive deep into why that condition exists, and to really gain the understanding that the birth control pills are not fixing that condition at all. They're just providing a regular menstrual cycle artificially. You know, then you can start to really look at, again, the why. What are the underlying root causes? And that's also just making yourself generally healthier, right? And so you'll be generally healthier at the time that you decide to get pregnant. There'll be a generally healthier womb, and mom's, you know, as an incubator will be healthy, so that the baby will then develop, you know, normally and optimally, and then be born optimally, right? So I hope that answers your question. Question, I'm now in my early 30s, married to a younger man who wants a family. I terminated once when I was younger, as I couldn't have a child at that time. So now at 30 something, is it safe to try to have a family? And should I do something beforehand? Yeah, so it's generally safe to have a family. I would, again, look at some things which we're going to talk about very soon. Look at some things to determine, like, how healthy are you, right? So again, because your blood work is normal, and because all your, you know, typical screening exams and pap smear and physical exams are normal, that doesn't mean you're healthy, right? And that was never more pronounced than during the pandemic that we experienced, when we all seemed to know at least one person that was healthy that died of COVID, right? Healthy people don't die of COVID. That just doesn't happen. So the idea that because someone looks physically healthy, right, they're toned, they're lean, they run marathons, they do triathlons, you know, they're athletes, that doesn't mean they're healthy. So the physical appearance does not mean someone is actually healthy, right? And so, you know, we've all had that experience with someone that we know who suddenly gets diagnosed with cancer and we thought they were the healthiest person, or they got sick with COVID and passed away and we thought they were the healthiest person, right? And there's a way that you can be extremely unhealthy but not look unhealthy. And so that's really important to find out and dig into. So what do we do, right? So what do you do to protect yourself as a future mom, right? Whether you're, you know, literally just hitting puberty, you know, or 30 something or even 40 something, right? It's never too late to become healthier. The healthier you are, truly healthy, right? So there's the Western idea of healthy, and then there's our idea in the holistic world of healthy. Two different healthies, right? So looking at, am I truly healthy in the purest sense of that term, right? How can we know that? One of the most important things that I like to do for my clients is look at their cellular levels of nutrients, cellular vitamin levels. In other words, the storage levels of vitamins inside the body, not their blood work, right? Not drawing their blood and looking at B12 and D and folic acid and iron and those types of things. Just not accurate for what we're talking about here. I did a couple podcasts, you know, lies your blood work tells you, and also the difference between blood deficiency and anemia. Every woman should know. If you want to go back and look at those podcasts, they'll give you a lot of detail about why blood work doesn't give you the information that you need, right? So we're talking about cellular levels here. We're talking about drawing your blood, yes, but what the lab does with your blood is it extracts the immune cells out of your blood. So it takes the cells that are floating around in your blood, it takes the cells, and then it goes inside of them to look for 33 different nutrients. You just can't do that with blood work. It's not, first of all, it's not available to even look at those levels in the bloodstream. And then certainly they don't look at the cellular levels in regular labs. So this is a private specialty lab. It's very telling, very, very telling. So if someone has a bunch of vitamin deficiencies, they're not healthy, period. They're not healthy, right? So that's probably the most important screening tool that anyone that wants to become pregnant should look at, is getting a micronutrient panel from a cellular level. And you would get that from an integrative medical doctor, right? Most allopathic doctors don't do that type of testing. They're not trained to interpret that type of testing. So this is a board certified integrative medical doctor that would do this for you. And then what you do is you don't just take the vitamins that are on the report, right? What you do is you ask yourself, how did I get these vitamin deficiencies? Why do they exist? Why are they there? So the answer may be, I'm not eating properly, right? The answer may be I eat too much fast food, or I don't eat enough, right? The answer may be, oh, I've been skipping breakfast and only having one or two meals a day, right? The answer might be, oh, I've been having some gastrointestinal symptoms that I've been ignoring. The question that you need to ask yourself is, why do I have these vitamin deficiencies, right? So it could be, I'm not eating properly, I'm skipping too many meals, or I've been ignoring my gastrointestinal symptoms. I've had loose stools, I've had bloating, I've had heartburn, I've had nausea, and I haven't paid attention to it. And so now once you see that you have all these vitamin deficiencies, you'll be able to see that, okay, these gastrointestinal symptoms have been preventing me from absorbing my food, and that's why I have all these vitamin deficiencies, right? The other answer may be, no, I actually understood that these gastrointestinal symptoms were not normal, And I did go to my doctor, and they referred me to a gastroenterologist, but the gastroenterologist told me I had gastritis or heartburn, and they gave me an antacid. And I thought that was good enough, right? There's a way that, unfortunately, again, allopathic medicine kind of skims the surface, right? So when someone has gastrointestinal symptoms and they have a bunch of vitamin deficiencies on a cellular level, you have SIBO until proven otherwise, right? Again, the small intestine is where all of those vitamins get absorbed. So if you have a bunch of vitamin deficiencies, there's something going on in the small intestine if you have gastrointestinal symptoms. And so you'd want to then, again, go to an integrative medical doctor who understands what SIBO is, who knows how to treat it and diagnose it so that it can be corrected, right? Then you start to take the vitamins and the minerals that you're deficient in, right? So you don't just take the vitamins and the minerals without asking yourself why I have these vitamin and mineral deficiencies, because then you're wasting your time, right? You're taking these prenatal vitamins, you're taking extra vitamins to correct deficiencies. But if your small intestine is infected, if you have SIBO, or you have malabsorption from another cause, you're not going to absorb those supplements and your levels aren't going to come up, right? So you don't want to, you know, quote unquote, walk into a pregnancy if you can avoid it with a bunch of vitamin and mineral deficiencies, because then those vitamins and minerals won't be available to detox you, right? So those same vitamins and minerals are critical for detoxification. So your liver, your skin, your gastrointestinal system, those are the three main detoxification organs in the human body. They all rely on all of those vitamins and minerals to make the energy to detox you, right? And your body removes toxins through the path that's closest to get it out of the body. So your skin will deal with, you know, toxins coming in through the skin and the mucous membranes. Your skin cells are equipped to literally package those toxins and get rid of them. If they sit in your skin, then they can seep down in into the bloodstream and into the other cells of the body, including the womb, right? And wreak havoc in the womb with a developing fetus. The same vitamin and mineral deficiencies that could be present in your skin cells will be the same vitamin and mineral deficiencies that will be present in the liver, right? So as your skin fails, right, and the toxins end up in your bloodstream, and now your liver is burdened with having to detox what got through, if they also have the same vitamin and mineral deficiencies, the liver also will not be able to detox you and get rid of those toxins. And then those toxins will seep into the womb, right? And then the gastrointestinal system, anything that comes in through the mouth, right, is supposed to be detoxed in the gastrointestinal system. And again, if there's an infection present, if you don't have proper stomach acidity, if you lack the enzymes, or if the immune system of the gut is suppressed by stress or those same vitamin deficiencies, toxins will come into your gut, right? And they will not be eliminated properly. And if the gut is diseased, infected, inflamed, it can leak, right? So you can have little tiny holes in your gastrointestinal system, in the membrane, where toxins will leak through the gut into the bloodstream. And again, now you're putting that same pressure on the liver. And again, if the liver has those same vitamin and mineral deficiencies, the liver will not detox you. And then those toxins will leak into the womb again. So in my opinion, and again, this is not well studied because these tests are not done in significant numbers to be studied. And again, it's not accepted in the allopathic medical community yet. So it's not a standard. But this test, looking at cellular levels of vitamins and minerals, is probably the most important screening test that anyone who plans to become pregnant should be doing, with the subsequent correction of those nutrient levels, right? So you want to repeat that test at about 6 to 9 months down the road, make sure those levels are coming up. If those levels are not responding to you taking the right supplements to correct them, something is preventing absorption, right? And you really want to double down and look at what that is. Most of the time it's SIBO, or it could be enzyme deficiencies or toxins or other things. So again, you don't want to do this on your own. You want to do this in partnership with a board certified integrative medical doctor, right? So that's number one. We're going to go to our next commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the other strategies to make sure that you have a healthy bundle of joy if you're considering getting pregnant. So you're listening to Awaken Wellness Now. We'll be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Mylène Riobé. That's Mylaine Riobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Mylène the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Mylène is the founder of Awakened Wellness Now, an online education community dedicated to helping exhausted entrepreneurs recover from burnout and live their best lives. She's also a practicing physician at the New York Center for Integrative Health in New York City. For more information, visit awakenedwellnessnow.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awakened Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Mylène Riobe, and today we are talking about pre-pregnancy tips for a healthy bundle of joy. So the next step after getting tested for nutrient deficiencies on a cellular level and correcting them and the causes of them is to increase antioxidant foods in your diet, right? So there was a study published in the Nutrition Journal in 2010 that measured the antioxidant levels of over 3,100 different foods. And again, this is, I'm reading from my book, Faith, here. Certain categories of foods and beverages made the list of highest antioxidant levels. Foods such as herbs and spices, like allspice, turmeric, and cloves, had the highest antioxidant levels. Berries high in antioxidants are Indian gooseberry, bilberries, wild strawberries, black currants, blackberries, and cranberries. And my favorite, espresso. Espresso coffee also qualifies as a very high antioxidant beverage and actually scored higher than green tea. Dark chocolate with very high cocoa content also made the list. Shelled nuts. So nuts that still have the shell on them have a higher antioxidant value than those nuts that are already out of the shell. And also keeping pellicles on certain seeds and nuts preserve their antioxidant content. So pellicles are that really thin layer that are around seeds and nuts, like a little membrane. So you want to get your seeds and nuts with that membrane still on them. They'll have higher antioxidant value. So walnuts, pecans, sunflowers, chestnuts had the highest antioxidant levels for the nuts and seeds category. So those are just a few of the different types of foods that you can consume to increase the antioxidant levels in your diet. So antioxidants are foods that help your body to detox itself, to rid itself of toxins, right? And again, the body has the innate ability to do this. So the only reason it could fail to do it is if things are missing inside of itself that would allow it to do that properly. So correcting these nutrients are so important, and also really increasing antioxidants in the diet, and having just an overall pesticide-free diet as much as possible. So organic foods, I can't stress that enough. And yes, the organic food supply in the United States of America is not, you know, our standards are not as high as other countries, which is unfortunate. But it's still better to eat organic foods than to not eat organic foods, right? Or to eat non-organic foods. Wild caught fish, not farm raised, right? Cage free poultry, eggs, animal-based proteins, cage-free, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, so important. On the vegan side, you know, making sure that things are organic and not genetically modified. So soy is allowed to be genetically modified, and there is no law that requires a food manufacturer to tell you that they have genetically modified the soy. So we rely on people that certify their food as being no GMO. So it's really important to have no GMO soy products. So that way you reduce the toxic burden in your food. Also looking at toxin exposure testing. So there are certain tests that you can do, again, on the integrative functional side of the world, where you'll get a toxin score. To see if you've been exposed to certain toxins, right? Toxins are everywhere. They're in glue, kids' toys, diapers, plastic bottles that babies drink out of, plastic bottles we drink out of. Just about everything that we use is toxic, unfortunately. So again, not to panic, just to prepare yourself, you know, so prepare the inside of the body to be able to rid the toxins from your body. That's the main source of defense that we have. There was a client of mine, younger woman who came in, this was years ago, came into my office. She was in a panic because she had just had a positive pregnancy test. She came in with a shopping bag full of stuff that she had in her house. Lotions, things that she would consume, supplements, shampoos, all the things, because she understood the link between toxins and poor pregnancy outcomes. So she brought this gigantic bag, and we spent the entire visit. It was me rifling through the bag, looking at her stuff. And I literally threw, I think, everything in that bag. I told her to throw it out, get rid of it. It was all toxic. Even her prenatal vitamin was toxic, right? So prenatal vitamins are another thing, right, that we have to talk about. If you look at prenatal vitamins, they contain artificial ingredients. And again, artificial vitamins are not the safest thing to use in a pregnancy. And also, they don't really meet the latest nutritional study information for how many vitamins and minerals we need in our diet, right? So the U.S. recommended daily allowance is woefully inadequate. And it hasn't been updated in decades, right? So most of the clients who come in to see me, I will switch them to a regular vitamin. I'll take them off their prenatals and put them on a regular vitamin based on their micronutrient panel, and I'll fill in all the gaps. So, you know, a prenatal vitamin or even a regular multivitamin will not have everything that most people need. So you have to have that prenatal vitamin as a core, but then add whatever else you're deficient in on top of it, right? So I ended up throwing everything out of this poor woman's bag. Her lotions were toxic. Her shampoo was toxic. And she was a health conscious person. So she wasn't uneducated as to what to do. It's just, it's hard to find these things, right? So we gave her some resources, the environmental working group and things like that, where she could go home and kind of rebuild, you know, her supplement closet and her, you know, dishwashing liquid, detergent, lotions that she put on her skin, moisturizer, shampoos, toothpaste, all of it, deodorant, you know, so all of those things have to be as clean as possible. So you're not literally putting things in your body that may be unhealthy, right? And again, not to panic, go to the environmental working group. They have an app. You can download the app. As you need some things, you look them up on the app, right? And they will rate them in terms of safety. And you just buy the thing that's safer and you rid yourself of the thing that's not safe, right? Unfortunately, we don't have a really good way to dispose of these toxins, right? There isn't a great way to get rid of them. So unfortunately, they're just out there floating. But what you want to avoid is literally consuming them and having them against your skin, right? So highly recommend the environmental working group. The last thing to do is, again, to get this toxin exposure testing done. If you have a high exposure to toxins, you may need to have, again, a guided detoxification program. So again, under the guidance of a board-certified integrative medical doctor, to actually rid the body of these toxins with a detoxification program that's safe, you know, that takes your constitution into consideration, right? So you don't want to just go out and do a detox, especially if you have what I coined in a deficient dynamic metabolic type. That would actually make you more toxic down the road. If you have an excess dynamic metabolic type, hot, cold, or temperature neutral, then yes, you can do a detox. But again, do it under guidance. You don't want to make assumptions about what your needs are, especially as you're walking into, you know, the most critical thing you can do in your life, right? Reproduction is probably the biggest, most important thing that we choose to do, right? Not all of us choose to have children. But for those who do, it's probably the most important decision you'll ever make, right? And so don't make any assumptions about what to do. Make sure that you have guidance. And even if you're currently pregnant, you can still safely do these things, right? So even if you're 8 months pregnant, there are still things you can do, right, to protect the baby, even if it's just as they're being born, right? The same thing that protects you, that makes you healthier, is the same thing that keeps your baby healthier, right? Having cleaner products in the home, making sure that the things that are going to contact your baby or go into the baby in terms of food and things like that are as clean as possible. Same thing, use the environmental working group for everything that you're going to expose, you know, your baby to, so to speak. And then also looking at methylation testing. This will be the last thing because we're running out of time. Looking at not mutations, but genetic variants in the liver that might make it very hard for you to detox. There are certain strategies that an integrative medical doctor can use to help you detox more smoothly. So again, we could go on and on for hours about this, but I hope you found this podcast to be helpful. If you need more help, happy to help. Just go to awakenedwellnessnow.com. You can also come see me in my office at nycintegrative.com to schedule an appointment. And it's been a privilege and an honor to be here with you today. And until next time, I send you many, many blessings. Thank you.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Melin and let us know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Melin is the founder of Awakened Wellness Now, an online education community dedicated to helping exhausted entrepreneurs recover from burnout and live their best lives. She's also a practicing physician at the New York Center for Integrative Health in New York City. For more information, visit awakenedwellnessnow.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.